If you brought your copy of God's Word this evening, find the book of Amos. And if you would please, find chapter number 5. Amos and chapter number 5. Out of respect for God's great and good book, if you are physically able, would you please stand with us? And we will read chapter 5, and we will read verse number 1. Amos chapter 5, verse number 1. Are you ready? Let's read this verse together. The Old Testament book of Amos, it is the 5th chapter, and it is verse number 1. Ready? Let's read. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. And in verse 2 will tell us what the prophet is lamenting, what God's word pronounces against Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. Would you read verse 3 with me? And then we'll be finished with our reading. Verse number 3, are you ready? For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. And then I'll read that 4th verse for you. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Father, this is a great and good book that's in my hand from a great and good father. My father, I would pray that you would speak to the hearts, to the minds, that your spirit would convict, that somebody would be different because of the words of this book. God, I beg for help. I plead for help. My Father, who is sufficient of such things? But my Lord, I believe thy book to say that if I'm not mistaken, it says if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That means that you're right beside me, cheering me, encouraging me, picking me up, and helping me. And I would be a help to these in front of me this evening. Save, Lord, save. Save, O Lord, please save. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may have a seat. Amos was a prophet. Amos was a prophet to the nation Israel. He was a contemporary with Isaiah. Amos is a minor prophet. He is a minor prophet not because his ministry was any less important. He is a minor prophet because of the length of his writings. He was a herdsman. He was a farmer. He took care of cattle. He took care of sheep. But God made him into a prophet and gave him a message. The message that we read in chapter 5, it begins this way, hear ye this word which I take up against you. You see, the message that the prophet had for Israel was a message that was not popular. It was against their sin. See, this evening, if you want to be popular, then, my friend, you just go along with the crowd. Just swim downstream with anybody. But my friend, the message that God gave was a message against their sin, against their wickedness. This message I take up against you. He is rebuking their sin. You see, the nation in verse number 2 would fall. Israel is fallen. What a tragic thing. It was a tragic thing because the terrible state that Israel was in at that time, fallen, was a helpless state, a helpless condition. Do you see it in that verse where it says she is fallen, Israel is fallen, she shall no more rise? That there was no one that was going to help her. She was forsaken, she was abandoned, she just laid there. Why did the people, the nation, end up in such a case? It was because of sin. It was because of their rejection of God. It was because of their rejection of God's laws. It was because they had forsaken the house of God for the multitude of idols that were all through the nation. And God had warned them that verse number 2, the nation would fall, none would raise her up, and that verse number 3, they were warned that 100 would be left out of 1,000, that only 1 out of every 10 would be spared this great catastrophe that was going to come upon the nation. And it was all because of sin. The nation would only be 1/10 of what it had been. Here is the message of the prophet. Here is what he tells them in verse number 4. Seek ye me. They are to seek God. They are to seek the Lord. If not, if they wouldn't seek God, if they wouldn't turn back to the Lord, then they are told in verse number 6 that a fire would devour them. And this fire would be an unquenchable fire that would burn without ceasing until there was nothing left. That God's wrath would be like a fire that no amount of water could put out. He tells them again the answer. Seek him that maketh the 7 stars. But, verse number 10, the prophet wasn't popular. He is hated. He stands in the city and preaches this message that they must turn to God, and he is hated, hated, despised. Can I tell you this evening, you have not lived for Jesus Christ until somebody hates you for it. Can I tell you this evening, you have not preached for Jesus Christ. I say, you have not preached for Jesus Christ until your hearers hate you for it. They hated the prophet. Evil men and women, you see, they have sinful practices. And when they are scolded or corrected because of their sinful heart, because they would not let go of their idols, because they were determined to do what they wanted to do, no matter what the God of heaven said, because of that, they hated the prophet. God reminded them in verse number 14 to seek good. Do you see that phrase all through that passage? You see, it would be their happiness if they would seek God. And God was ready to be found of them. It would be their happiness if they would seek him. Why should they seek him? Because verse number 8, he made the stars. That's a pretty amazing creation. They are without number. And just to think tonight, the one that put all of the stars and keeps them all in their courses tonight, that he wants you to talk to him. That he wants you to walk with him. That he wants you to be his and you to be his forever and forever. What an amazing thing. Verse number eight tells us that they were to seek him, to look for him, to follow him, and to love him. Why is that? It would be their happiness because he is the one who turns death into bright morning day. He is the one that defeats death. By the way, tonight, my friend, I only know of one founder of the world's religions that defeated death tonight. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And my friend, tonight, the one who conquered death, who they pronounced dead on the cross of Calvary, who a centurion certified his death on the cross of Calvary, the one who was given a death certificate by the Roman government. I say tonight, that one who rose from the dead victoriously, seen many days by many different people, I say tonight, seek him, look for him. It will be your happiness if you do that. Seek the Lord, the prophet says. Why should they seek the Lord? Because if they would seek the Lord, they would be the victor and not the victim. Would you look at verse number 9? That strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. Perhaps the idea in that verse is that the one who was, if they would seek God, that the one who was the nation that was supposed to be spoiled, instead of being spoiled, would be the one who is enriched. Do you understand tonight that God can take, if you would seek God, God can take the most common person. God can take the most humble person. And if they would just seek God, God could make that person triumphant and victorious and strong. Now, my friend, tonight, dearly beloved, you are privileged to be an American. You are privileged to be in this great country. And it is because of the sacrifice of veterans for countless horrible deaths that they laid down their lives. But you know what tonight? You know what's marvelous tonight? You're free. You don't have to seek God. Nobody forces you to seek God. But it would be for your happiness. Would you please just, I plead with you tonight, give God a chance. Just seek him. Just say, okay, God, if you're there, talk to me from this book. If you're there, speak to me from this book. If you're there, I'll do whatever you say to do. If you will just show me that you exist. God said to seek him tonight. And if you would seek him tonight, it would be for your happiness. God would strengthen you. You would be the victor instead of the victim. You would be triumphant instead of defeated. You would be the conqueror instead of the conquered one. It would be their happiness. Instead of being spoiled, they would be the spoilers. They would be stronger than their foes. It would be their happiness, their strength, and their hope if they would seek the Lord. Look at the verse that we read in verse number 14. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. You see, here's another reason to seek God tonight, because that'll give you life. If they would seek God and say, well, what's good? What's the right thing to do? What's the excellent thing to do? What's the superior and best thing to do? That if they would seek God and seek good, they would live. I wonder how many people sat in these pews this morning are just existing. They're not really living. You see, if a person seeks God, he'll put real life. You won't just have a common existence. You'll have a purpose for living, a reason for living, a purposeful existence. It would be their happiness to seek God and their life too. You see, if you seek God, God will show himself to you. If you want to find out if God's real, God will show himself to you, and he will impart to you a life that is just tremendous. I can testify, not just from book learning, but from personal experience. From personal experience, that God can give you a life beyond your wildest expectations. When I was in junior high, I went to the guidance counselor. The guidance counselor said that I had an appointment with him, and so I sat down in his office, and the guidance counselor said, Mark, in junior high, we have to start planning what you're going to do for your future, for your career. What do you want to do? And I said, play sports? And then he kind of chuckled. So I thought, okay, better answer. Come on, better answer. I said, how about I'll be in the Air Force and fly an air flight? I'm going to fly a military jet. And he kind of chuckled. And I said, I don't know. From junior high, the whole way through high school, I had no purpose in life. I misspoke. I did have a purpose in life. When I was about 14, I started using drugs. And from 14 to the age of about 17 or 18, my entire existence was wrapped around using drugs. Every day, just about. I know that in 11th grade, every day, my 11th grade year of school, I went to school high every single day of 11th grade. Every single day, I got up in the morning, used drugs, got on the bus, went to school, came home, found the same drugs, used those drugs again. I had no purpose in life except get high, dude. Whoa. But then I began reading this book. And I read in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 some words in this book that just changed my life. Three simple words. Preach the word. And I wonder, I really don't know how to explain it to you tonight, except that when I read those three words, preach the word, something happened down inside my heart and spirit. And for the first time in my life, I had a purpose. You just, do you just go through life just day to day to day wondering why you're here? Seek God. There's a purpose. There's a reason. You're here on purpose, not on accident. God wants you to have not just an existence, but he wants to impart to you life. I don't mean like, like your heartbeat. I mean love and joy and peace and contentment. He wants to impart those things to you. It would be their happiness if they would seek God. God has a purpose for you tonight. Book of Ecclesiastes says, to everything there is a purpose. I know a lady. When she was a little girl, she always wondered, why has this man come to my house? And every time he comes to my house, every 6 months or a year or so, he sits in my living room and my mom will go get me and I'll sit in the living room and talk to him, and why does that? And she's told me, why did I feel this connection with him? Finally, when she got older, it was explained to her that the one she thought was her dad was not really her biological father. That the man who came and sat in the living room every year or so was actually her biological father. She said she went through life just feeling like, I'm illegitimate, I have no purpose. But my friend, if you saw her tonight, I know where she's at tonight. She's in church tonight. She's in church hearing some preacher preach the book of God. She is one of the most diligent Christians. You know why that is? She sought God. Even in the midst of her confusion, she sought God. Even when she didn't understand, she sought God. And God gave her a purpose. I say tonight, seek God. Seek God. He'll give you a life. He'll give you a purpose. You say, sir, I'm already walking, talking, living, and breathing. What? Well, then think of it like this. Didn't anybody ever say to you, would you get a life? Well, it didn't mean you didn't have a pulse. Some of you, a little close. I would love to put them shock paddles on you. So, but that didn't mean you didn't have a pulse. It meant you were comatose, man. On Monday, usually what I'll do on Monday is, I know you want to know what I do on Monday, right? Usually what I do on Monday is I'll take the kids to the bus stop, I'll go to the gym, I'll do 45 minutes of cardio at the gym, I'll come back, get out of the car, change my shirt, and run 3 or 4 miles up West Chestnut and back down West Chestnut. Because I got 4 kids and I'm 50 plus years of age. And I got to keep this old ticker in me ticking. So, it was cold on this past Monday. It was rainy on this past Monday. It was like sleety and just fall weather in central Pennsylvania. But I said, bless God, I'm going to run. So I got out there and I started running. When I got back home, the front door of the house is locked. I am stinky. I'm just soaking wet. It's sleeting out. It's like 50 below. And I'm locked out of my own dwelling place. Well, I did what any patient Scotch-Irishman would do. I beat as hard as I could on the front door. I rang the doorbell, which doesn't work because it's broke. Beat on the front door, no answer. Then all of a sudden, it was like an epiphany. Tracy and Vanessa are cleaning the church. Oh, I've been rescued. I can get in. I'm not going to freeze to death. So I went down, and as hard as I could, I beat on that bottom door down there. Boom, 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 boom. Well, I happen to be beating on the door right at the time Vanessa is praying. I know you find it hard to believe Vanessa prays. Tracy said she did. The rest of us were kind of like, Vanessa prays? What? Really? You're kidding? No, Vanessa prays. I believe my wife. So, because Tracy doesn't want to interrupt Vanessa praying, because it's probably, is this going to be on the internet or whatever, Josh? Well, hey, I don't care. I'll tell the truth. Tracy didn't want to interrupt Vanessa praying because it's probably the only time she's going to pray. So Tracy doesn't stop her praying, but that means I just keep hammering. Boom, 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 boom. I'm like, I'm going to die of pneumonia. Really, I'm going to freeze to death out here. I'm soaking wet. I'm getting hit with them little sleet balls. I'm freezing. Open the door, wife! She comes over, opens the door, and my blood pressure is perfectly calm. 120 over 80. I keep stomping in. You lock the door, lock me out. And Vanessa's there, perky smiling. In Jesus' name, be healed. Boom! No. And she looked at me and she said, Pastor, purpose. There's a purpose to everything, Pastor. When stomping up the steps, purpose. Purpose to everything. Like, God has a purpose in me getting locked out there and getting pneumonia. Purpose. More I thought about that, that just wouldn't go away. God has a purpose. Okay, God, why am I locked on the street? Oh, my wife doesn't really love me, does she? No, that can't be the purpose. God, what's the purpose behind this? Because I have need of patience, James chapter 1. Because I need to learn when everything goes wrong, rejoice in the midst of everything going wrong. And until I learn that, everything's going to keep going wrong and I'm going to keep getting locked out of the house. God wants to give you a purpose tonight. God wants to give you life. God wants, you already have existence. He wants you to get it would be your happiness. Your happiness. If you would seek him tonight. David sought him. David sought the Lord, and he delivered him from all his fears. Zacchaeus sought him, and he rescued Zacchaeus. After Zacchaeus did seek the Lord, he was a changed man. The book of Psalms says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. The Bible says Paul besought the Lord. He besought the Lord 3 times. Would you take this thorn away from me? I'm telling you this evening, my friend, that the one that hung the stars, the one that conquered death, is waiting for you to say, God, would you please walk with me? Because I really need your help. Let's bow our heads and we'll have a prayer together, Father. Israel didn't seek you, did they? They didn't seek you, and as a result, thousands were dead. Israel didn't seek you, did they? And as a result, the Assyrian army came and cities were burned to the ground and thousands of dead bodies everywhere and the crops died in the field. And God, I pray tonight somebody's heart would be stirred to look for God, to seek God, to search for God. I know what your book says, God. Thy book does say in a certain place, you'll seek, if you seek me, you'll find me if you seek me with all of your heart. Father, I would seek for thy will to be done in the invitation, thy will alone in Jesus' name. Now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, here's your opportunity. You can seek the Lord tonight. There are three young men down here that already are. If God's Spirit puts it upon your heart, here's what I urge you to do tonight. Realize that the one that hung the stars up there, he has a purpose for you. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. And he wants to give you a better life.